time for thinking real estate. Right now with Laura Dwyer Schletke, Bill Schletke. I don't know what happened to our theme song disappeared. How about that?
I don't know if we can. I don't know if we can talk real estate then.
I'll have to sing it, I guess. No, and that's not going to happen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into real estate, we got to announce the next winner of the second $1,000.
Oh yeah.
You ready? Drum roll.
Drum roll. There it is.
Drum roll. The winner of the $1,000 from last Monday through this past Sunday is Aubrey Thran Strong. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that middle name right, but Aubrey Thran, T-H-R-A-N, Strong. She bought her product. The winning receipt was from Farm Suds, which is a new business in downtown Jackson on Mechanic Street next to Crazy Cowboys and Busy Bee. And she paid $27.56. There were 191 total entries.
Wow.
And just so you know what Farm Suds does, they sell facial products and soaps, things like that.
Okay.
Brand new store. So congratulations, Aubrey Strong. You're the proud winner of $1,000. You can contact Corey May at the Jackson Downtown Development Authority, and that will help you with your Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you're buying for. So,
now,
congratulations.
Spell that last name.
Strong, S-T-R-O-N-G.
Oh, okay.
Aubrey Strong.
Gotcha.
So, she can pick up. She's strong enough to pick up that $1,000, I'm sure. So that's pretty cool when people win. And we've been busy down at Artitude, and I know the other businesses have been doing pretty well. So I think this and I got to give a shout out to Consumers Energy. They have infused $100,000 of into the downtown through gift certificates. They have right now, if you I think it's $20,000, if you go down to the second floor of City Hall and you buy $100 worth of gift certificates for the downtown businesses, Consumers Energy is matching it with another $100,000. So the max you can buy is $100,000. And they have $20,000 that they're giving away. Once that's gone, it's gone. Last week they did the same thing, and they did $30,000, I believe. I might have my numbers wrong a little bit. It took 27 hours for them to sell out.
Wow.
I know, right?
Amazing.
So, I mean, that speaks volume for Consumers Energy, and hats off to them. And I want to thank the sponsors of the $1,000 giveaway, Shop Small, Win Big, that's Thinking Real Estate, and the Jackson DDA, Loom, the Chamber and Experience Jackson, the Anchor Initiative, Consumers Energy again, and CP Financial Credit Union. And without their generous donations, none of this could be happening, and it's a year that we need this type of goodwill happening, because it's been a tough year, as we all know. So thanks to the sponsors, thanks especially to Consumers Energy for the additional donation of that money that's helping our downtown businesses. So with that said, there'll be another $1,000 winner, same time, same place, next week. So go out, shop small, win big. Shopping small is going to any small retail store within the city limits of Jackson, and it doesn't matter how much you spend and how often you spend. You can enter as many times as you have receipts to show that you were shopping. And you go to jacksonDDA.org.
JacksonDDA.org. We'll get that done for you. There you go.
Okay. All right. So, Bill, you wanted to finish up the conversation with regard to easements, and then you wanted to add in a conversation about license.
You know, so, may not even get to it, but the issue that we had just started a conversation about easements and had been talking about joint driveway easements, things like that. But a lot of controversy happens between the holder of the right to use the easement and the owner of the underlying land. You know, for example, what can I use it for? How often can I use it? What are the limitations? Who pays taxes on it? All those sorts of questions arise. You know, when the owner of the land blocks it off, uses it in a manner inconsistent with the easement holder. Those are the kind of questions that I thought might be worthwhile talking about this morning.
Well, I'm looking at an easement right now as we speak on a title policy on vacant land. It's 20 acres that we're selling. And there's, I think it's a pipeline oil easement.
You mean an oil and gas pipeline easement?
Yeah, I think there's an actual pipeline that runs under the property, though, that I think you and I talked about it, that typically they're installed deep enough that it shouldn't interfere with whatever the property would be used for.
Well, sure it could, okay? Yeah, and first of all, when oil and gas pipelines are, when the easement is created, it's often a broad easement across a large tract of land, and then because the pipeline company doesn't know exactly where that line is going to go until they start doing the construction. And so what happens is they then, once it's installed, the easement narrows to a certain distance on either side. It could be 10 feet, 12 feet, 20 feet, depending upon the size of the pipeline going through and how many pipelines. I mean, there may be more than one pipeline going through. So the point there, though, is even if it's buried 10 feet deep, 12 feet deep, 8, whatever it may be, you still can't build over it. So if there's an easement, and it doesn't have to be a pipeline easement, it could be any kind of utility easement. It could even be an overhead line easement that you can't build underneath because the power company or the phone company, whoever holds that easement, and in fact, a utility easement will carry many different types. It'll carry optic cable, it'll carry cable TV, it'll carry electric, could be underground gas, I mean, all of these sorts of things. And so you're not going to be able to build over that easement. It could be sewer easement. Our cottage up north, the sewer goes between the cottage and the lake, and you can't build over that easement. And you can't build within, I think that easement is 10 feet either side, so it's a 20-foot easement.
So this one was established on November 17th, 1941.
Okay.
And let's see, they were paying, it's interesting because it's the form and they typed it in compared to today. That's just kind of nostalgia. But in consideration of $1, the further consideration is 50 cents per linear rod to be paid before the pipeline here and after specified is laid.
Okay.
So how does one know if the pipeline was ever laid?
Because it'll be marked on top. You'll find markers on the top with numbers on it so that the company which holds the easement or manages the easement, now they'll fly drones over it to make certain that there's no leak. In other words, they'll be able to see from the surface if there's any kind of rupture or leak. That's what they're doing when they're flying over. They used to have small aircraft that would fly over these pipeline, what do they call them, a pipeline something, but they're on little Cessna 150s or 172s flying very slow over the pipeline to inspect the pipeline. Now they use drones. And there's also internal monitoring. Now, 1941, they didn't have internal cameras. Now they have all sorts of monitoring devices to make certain that there is no rupture, or if there is a rupture, that it's addressed quickly.
So it looks like there's another one from the same company.
For some reason, you're breaking up on me. I don't know if you're breaking up on Greg or not.
It looks like there was another one from the same company, and maybe it was extended, and now it's $1.50 per linear rod. And this one is October 24th, 1963. At what point do these easements go away?
Never. An easement, this is the difference. One of the things that if I thought I got time, I'd mention. But an easement is in perpetuity unless it provides for a definite expiration date. You could have an easement that would expire, but if it's that there is no expiration date, the easement continues in perpetuity or until the easement is abandoned. And simple non-use of an easement does not constitute abandonment. Abandonment has to be non-use plus an intention, either an expressed intention or implied intention, to abandon the easement. So, no, it's there in perpetuity forever. Huh. It could be eliminated by agreement, too. You know, if the pipeline company says we no longer need the pipeline easement, we're now delivering in a different fashion or over a different pipeline, they could, you could have an agreement where the pipeline company says, okay, we're done. We'll agree that it's now terminated. You know, on a termination agreement, you'd usually have some language with respect to what's going to happen to the pipeline that's in there. Does it have to be removed? Who's, there's an indemnity, things like that. But, I mean, a lot of these pipelines are very, very old.
What happens pipeline if easements. Panhandle Eastern Pipeline Company does no longer exist? What if they went bankrupt or dissolved? What happens to the easement?
The easement, well, typically if Panhandle went through bankruptcy, that's an asset of Panhandle, and it would be auctioned off or sold to some other oil and gas company. If it wasn't and it was being abandoned, it should be dealt with in the bankruptcy and the pipeline closed off and some sort of abandonment agreement or termination agreement. Not necessarily, but I that would typically be the case. And the pipeline has some value, so it's an asset of the pipeline company.
And so if someone finds this on their title, which is the situation in this case, what would you advise them to do?
Go out to the land, find out where the pipeline is, make certain it's not going to impact what they want to do with the property. You know, if I was a developer, for example, I planned on putting 50 lots on this particular vacant parcel, I got myself a problem because now I've got a pipeline easement that I can't build anything across or on without the pipeline company's permission. And in order to get that permission, it's going to be fairly difficult in most circumstances.
So
the same thing. Go ahead.
The pipeline has not been installed. It's just a granting of an easement. How do you find that actual location then?
Well, that depends upon what the description is within the title work. In other words, and in the easement itself, to find out where it is. If that easement has not been defined to a particular line with 10 or 20 feet on either side of it, now you got an issue. You'd have to talk to whoever the holder of the easement is. If it's not been installed, you know, if an easement is that old and the pipeline hasn't been installed, it's likely that they don't, that they're never going to use the easement. So you could approach whoever it is, whatever company that it is that holds the easement, and see if you could get a termination, at least inquire as to find out what they plan on doing with it.
Yeah, because this is a pretty broad legal description.
Yeah, that's how they typically are. So, but you're saying the pipeline is not installed, are you sure?
No, how would I know? Other than the aerial that you were talking about, the pipe coming out of the ground, how would one know?
It's a stake out of the ground. It's a post comes out of the ground, and on the top of it usually has a rectangle or a square with a number on it, so that whoever's flying over, the drone flying over, they know exactly where they are in terms of the pipeline. So that should be on where the pipeline is actually physically installed. So you have to go out there and look. If it's not there, then I would want to do some more inquiry to find out, is there one there? Maybe they just don't mark it on this particular track, but it's marked on the adjoining properties or nearby properties, so there's no marker on this particular property. But I'd want to know where that pipeline is.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I mean, but that's
their name now.
What's that?
I'm Googling the company name as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, but what you're talking about is an easement that most people don't have to deal with. Most people are dealing with driveway easements and easements for ingress and egress, and there are all kinds of questions and issues arise. In other words, if you have an easement across my property for ingress and egress, does that allow you to park on the easement? Since it's across my property, can I park on that part of the property that's covered by the easement? Can you improve it? Can you pave it? Can you do things to it? Who's got the responsibility to maintain it? If it's a joint driveway, who's got the responsibility? In other words, I have an easement across your property for part of the driveway. You have an easement across my property for part of the driveway. So who's got the duty to maintain that? And who's paying taxes on it? That's always a question I enjoy taking. In other words, if you have an easement across my property, as the property owner, I get this all the time, as a property owner, well, I don't want to have to pay taxes on that easement. The person that holds the easement should be paying taxes on that property. You don't pay taxes on property. People don't understand. Property taxes are not taxes on the property itself. It's their taxes based upon the value of the property. And so when an easement goes across my property, what does that do to the value? Theoretically, it diminishes it because it reduces my ability to use that portion of the property that's covered by the easement. So my taxes go down. You, on the other hand, just got an easement. Let's suppose you have a landlocked property. Your property value is next to nothing because you have no ability to access it. So it's nominal. The instant you get an easement for ingress and egress, the value of your property goes up exponentially. You now get taxed on the increased value of the property by virtue of the easement. So it's a misnomer to say, well, I'm paying taxes on that easement as the owner of the burden property, the property across which the easement goes. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about with respect to this particular issue. We're not going to get into everything. And I wanted to distinguish an easement from a license. I wanted to distinguish between an easement that runs with the land and what's known as an easement in gross. Those are two different kinds of easement. There's also something called an easement of necessity, which I'd like to talk about at some juncture, but I don't think we're going to have time today.
Well, but we're in hunting season, so license applies more to maybe that.
For some reason, you keep breaking up, and I don't know why. I'm having issues with respect to hearing. You said something about a license.
A license is more like someone who's going to go hunt. You give them a license to hunt on your property?
No. License could be to ingress and egress. A license could be for maintenance. License can be for anything. It can be for exactly the same purpose as an easement, except the license is personal to the licensee. Typically, it's revocable by the licensor unless the license provides otherwise. A license is personal to the person to whom it's granted, but so is an easement in gross. That's personal to the person or entity to whom it is granted. I mean, these are nuances of real property law that most people just don't understand. And they get into arguments over who can do what when with respect to all of these easement issues.
Well, we'll have to save that conversation for next week.
All right.
And again, shop small, win big. You can are drawing for another $1,000 will be next week. We have Artitude going on downtown in the old Vermeulen building, which is we 15 or more artisans are set up and selling their products that are beautiful. And the hours for that are Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7, and Sunday, 11 to 4, through December 24th. And as far as real estate goes, I've got a nice commercial corner lot at 1442 Cooper, which is right across from that, I think it's a P&S gas station towards the highway there, 94. It's 100,000, and across the street, I think George Pearson has another lot. So you could maybe buy two parcels right there on Cooper Street, get some great exposure. And until next week, if you're thinking of buying or selling real estate, you should be thinking real estate. Laura Dwyer-Schlechty, 780-3800.